Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Not Just New Movies podcast, the show where we review a seemingly random film currently not in theaters. My name is Ben Pearson, and today we're going to be talking about Peter Hyams' 1994 film, Time Cop. Joining me today is my regular co-host, Tyler. How's it going, sir?
I don't mean to rain on anyone's parade, but I think I accidentally watched Busty Time Cops.
Busty Time Cops. Wow. Okay. Well,
starring the incomparable Dong-Claude Van Damme.
Oh, man. I love this episode already.
Thank you.
Returning to the show is a writer for Film.com. He joined us when we discussed the video game classic The Wizard, Eric D. Snyder. Thanks for coming back to the Not Just New Movies podcast.
Thanks for having me back. I'm delighted to be here again.
Awesome, awesome. So if you guys are just joining us for the first time, we start every episode with a character name game, transition into our media consume section where we talk about what you've been watching, move into our review of the week, and finish up with listener voicemails and emails. You can always leave us a voicemail at 904-469-6566 or email us at notjustnewmovies@gmail.com. And you can find this and every other episode of this podcast at notjustnewmovies.com. So I'm going to take the character name game this week. If memory serves correctly, Eric, last time you were here, you looked this up, which is a violation of the trust code that we
have. Oh, that's right. No, I remember I did. I blatantly cheated.
So refrain from that if at all possible.
I'll do it. Just do it again, Eric.
I can't make any promises, but we'll see.
Okay. Well, the character name for this week is Dorothy Evans. So you guys try to remember comb the recesses of your mind, see if you can remember what movie that character is from, and then keep in mind also that it has to have some sort of correlation to a movie that came out in wide release this past weekend. So we'll jump back into that.
Is Dorothy Evans a major character in her movie?
No, actually, she's not.
Oh, okay. Well, All right.
I think I know.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll come back.
I don't remember the title of the movie, though, but I know the movie.
Okay. A detailed description will do once we get there. So.
Is that acceptable?
Yeah.
Complete written paragraph.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and move into the media consume section. This is the part of the show where we talk about what we've been watching, any sort of cool events we've been to recently, anything like that. Let's start with Tyler. What have you been consuming this week?
This week, well, I went and saw Jack the Giant Killer, the Riff Tracks thing. That was pretty cool. I talked about Riff Tracks last time, so I just said I went and saw that.
Okay.
I watched Conan the Barbarian en 3D.
What is that?
I might Conan the Barbarian in 3D. The movie.
Oh, 3D.
Yeah, I didn't even realize they were playing that in 3D, to be honest with you.
Yeah, neither did anyone else. Like, people who go to movies didn't really realize
it. I think
it
was
either.
Conan the Barbarian 3D. I think that might have been its official title.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, anyway, I'm not here to talk about that. I'm here to talk about the shitty TV series that they made based on the Schwarzenegger movies, Conan the Adventurer.
Okay.
All right. Now, Ralph Miller. It's just awful. It's going to be off Netflix streaming on September 1st, so it'll make room for another TV series that might be better.
Mm-hmm.
So time's a wasting, you're saying?
Right. 22 episodes in, 2 days?
Yeah, so basically stop listening right now and get there and watch.
Oh, it was an animated series.
No, there was a cartoon called The Same... Oh. Oh, the same thing, yeah. But this was this was after Hercules and Xena came out.
Oh, okay, all right.
Yeah, I think it was on USA. Some of the funnier parts is there's this old wizard that basically just tries to ruin Conan's day every day, and he talks to a skull that just comes out of the water. It's pretty funny to look at. And mentionable aspect of the series. I've been trying to watch it for 2 years, and I'm only on episode 4. That's as bad as it is.
I was gonna ask you how far you got into it. I'm glad you only did it that
way. I'm glad it's going off streaming, so I don't have that haunting my brain at night. But the Conan, the guy who plays Conan, Ralph Miller, I don't know. He's from somewhere. I guess Austria. But he sounds like Schwarzenegger, and he's got this kind of same build. So
I'm looking at his Wikipedia page right now. He's from Germany, and he's a friend of Schwarzenegger's. They're actually friends. Okay.
So, if you really dig the Schwarzenegger ones, and that's like the perfect rendition of the character, then you might accept this, even though it's terrible for every other thing. Except for the lead actor.
I'm wondering if that guy just wrote his own Wikipedia page and said that he was personal friends with Schwarzenegger.
Could be, actually.
Yes, me and Schwarzenegger will be having dinner tonight.
Awesome.
Yeah, and then finally, I've been reading old Silver Surfer comics. There's the the Essential Silver Surfer, which I bought for $3 off of Amazon.com.
Nice.
It's like 600 pages. It has like the first 18 issues from like the 1960s one, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
That was written by Buscema and Stan Lee. It's pretty riveting. It's in black and white. There's no color, so I'm kind of missing out on that. But the storytelling's really, really well written. Obviously, you know, Stan Lee recreated all these franchises, or created this franchise. And, you know, there's different, like, he's kind of imprisoned on Earth. And he's like constantly yearning for this lady across the universe. So there's that, and then there's the whole thing where, like, every issue he gets blamed for whatever's happening. Like an alien will attack, and everyone assumes it's the Silver Surfer just because he's there.
Mm-hmm.
So he's constantly like, seriously, guys, I'm trying to help you, and like nobody believes him. So, you know, it's pretty good. I'd recommend it. It's kind of weird because comics today are like, I don't know. I think they say that it's supposed to be 32 pages, but I don't feel like it is. But these are like, it takes me a while to get through one issue. So that's kind of high note.
Does the Silver Surfer have like a like an April O'Neil stock character, like the one person that does believe him in the situation that he can
turn He to? Did meet a guy, a scientist, that helped him out in one issue, but that guy died in the same issue. But most of the time it's just him, like, you know, surfing around, just trying to get people to listen to him. And
Could you explain what that actually means when you say surfing around? Like, I realize he floats on a surfboard, but what's his... What are his powers exactly?
Well, he's got I'm glad you asked that, Ben. He's got the power cosmic, which was granted to him by a universal planet destroyer known as Galactus.
Mm-hmm.
And this pretty much allows him to do almost anything: live forever, go to the speed of light, go back in time.
Mm.
So his powers are fairly limitless, except for the fact that he can't leave Earth. So
how is he at actual surfing? Like in the ocean.
I would assume that his surfing abilities in the air are good, but in the water, I think that might be his weakness. Therefore, that's why they never show him actually.
Ironic.
Swimming. Yeah. Because if he's like just tubing and the wave starts to just encroach in on him, he'll just be like, fuck this, and just laser out. So,
I feel like there needs to be an episode where he's in a Hawaiian shirt actually surfing.
See, as a kid, that's what I thought he was. Like, I thought he was like a California native that just happened to get superpowers and become the Silver Surfer, but he's like this Shakespearean alien.
Gotcha. Yeah, and the relationship between him and Galactus that you were describing was actually featured in the second Fantastic Four movie.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and really, I might add. But
right, yeah, and I think everyone who is even remotely aware of comic books was like a little disappointed, probably more than a little disappointed with that movie. But
I tried to like it, just like I tried to like Conan the Adventurer.
Yeah, well, you're
both killed me.
You're doing God's work, sir. So, Eric, let's go to you. What have you been consuming this week?
Nothing nearly as nerdy as that. Not that there's anything nerdy about comic books, right?
No.
No, I've actually, you know what I've just gotten into? I'm just late on things. I've been watching The Wire.
Oh, okay.
A show that forever everyone said you need to watch The Wire, and I said, yeah, I know, I believe you. I will at some point. And so finally, you know what it was, is I have DirecTV, and on their own channel, Channel 101, Like that's where they showed Friday Night Lights last fall.
Mm-hmm.
But they showed all of The Wire starting a few months ago, so I just DVR'd all the episodes.
Nice.
And I just finished season two, and that's a great show. You guys have watched it, I assume.
I've not actually. Heard the same thing that you did, and I'm watching The Shield right now because heard that The Wire is better in comparison, and I just wanted to knock The Shield out in its entirety so I wouldn't be disappointed going back to that after The Wire.
Right.
It's funny because we had almost this, like, the exact same conversation with Katie Rich, who joined us a couple episodes ago.
Oh, yeah, she just started watching The Wire. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you like it, I presume? Yes?
Oh, yeah. No, it is great. And I watched The Shield when it was on, and I'm not done with The Wire yet, but I'd probably agree that it's sort of a richer and more detailed show. I mean, The Shield is pretty awesome too.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
Discovering. But yeah, The Wire is fantastic, and it's just just how complex it is, and how it gets the details of police investigative work. Yeah, it's great. The other night, I watched. It was late. It's like midnight, and I said I'd watch one episode, and then it sort of ended on kind of a cliffhanger. So I was like, well, okay, I'll watch another one. And then that one ended on a cliffhanger, and I was like, well, I can't, it's too late, I can't watch a third one. But then I saw that the third one was going to be the season finale. I was like, well, I might as well finish it off. Might as well finish the season.
Nice.
So I stayed up till 4 a.m. watching The Wire.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a great show. Everyone was right when they said that.
Yeah, good stuff.
Were you wired by the end of it?
It was, actually.
Thank you. Tyler,
you are on fire today.
I'm not drinking tonight, so.
Between that and Breaking Bad, all my favorite shows are about drug dealers.
Dude, interesting. I was going to move on into what I've been consuming, and Breaking Bad is one that I wanted to mention. I've talked about it a couple times on this podcast before, but now I am, I can't actually say I'm totally caught up because I didn't watch last night's episode.
Okay, yeah, I haven't seen last night's either yet.
But I'm totally caught up with the exception of last
night. Me neither, episode. Guys.
Hey, wow. But yeah, up before last night anyway, it's awesome, isn't it?
Yeah, it's so good. It's it's one of those things where, like, I didn't necessarily think it was as great as people were saying watching it through the first season, and then as you go and it gets more and more, like, kind of like what you're saying with The Wire, I guess, like more complex and more kind of interweavings of all these different things coming together, and the kind of consequential actions of small things build and just compound on each other and turn into like massive, like horrible situations that these characters get themselves into. It's really, really riveting. So I think the third season, by the time that wrapped up, I was like, man, I'm totally hooked on this. It's really, really good.
So.
Yeah, good stuff with Breaking Bad. One other thing I wanted to mention, I got a chance to go to the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater here in Los Angeles. I guess this was like last Saturday maybe. Anyway, there is a show that they have there occasionally called The Shit Show, which, I guess in which a couple, you know, quasi celebrities in the area always come and present to the audience. This is a really small theater, by the way, only about 100 people or so. Present to the audience work that they've done that is really terrible. Like, the people that I saw were Nick Offerman and Megan Mullally, who you guys probably know from Nick Offerman is Ron Swanson from Parks and Recreation. Megan Mullally was on Will and Grace for a lot of years. That's his real life wife that plays his ex-wife in Parks and Recreation.
Tammy.
And, which is also a fantastic show that we've talked about.
I think she's his second wife.
Yes.
Yeah, she's
Tammy the first.
Tammy too, isn't she?
Yep.
Yeah.
And then Adam Pally, who's on the show Happy Endings on ABC right now. And then this guy named Kay Strauss. I don't know if you guys have heard of this person. He's kind of this internet phenomenon comedian guy who pretends, like, he has this whole gag where he pretends to be a yo-yo master and makes it on national news, or I guess local news stations, getting ready to, like, show a demonstration of his yo-yo skills, and talks about how he goes to schools and, like, teaches children about, like, educating them about drugs and stuff with yo-yos. And he's just, like, super awkward. And the whole thing is an act, but it almost, you almost don't think it is. Like, he's so good at making it really uncomfortable for these people. And it's just amazing that he's able to convince news stations to let him go on and do this, and he just falls apart in every one of these performances, quote
unquote. So he can't actually do the yo-yo?
Yeah, no, he never does. He has this thing, that I forget what he calls it. It's something like the Wheel of Death or something, but that's not right. Where he puts like a yo-yo on every single one of his fingers, and he claims that he's going to unleash all of them and spin them around to form this wind circle of things. And then he tries it and they all just get massively tangled, and it's just like horribly embarrassing. It's like Michael Scott from The Office. It's just like cringeworthy. And you can see, like, the funniest part is just watching these news people, like their reaction to everything. It's just like they're totally shocked and appalled that this is happening live on their show. There's nothing they can do about it. But anyway, that was a really long tirade, sorry. So these people in this show get together and they bring old, you know, work that they've done that's just terrible. That's the point of the show, is they sit around and laugh at how bad all of their old stuff was. And Rob Hubel, I think, is that how you say it, Tyler? Hubel, the dude from...
I think it's just Hubel.
Hubel, okay. He's a comedian. He was in, I think, like Human Giant and stuff, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he's on Children's Hospital too now.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So he hosts the show and he just kind of like roasts everybody and just makes fun of all their stuff. So he was hosting this thing, and anyway, Nick Offerman brings a clip from Law and Order, NYPD Blue, and he plays like this cross-dressing, like, weird guy who he just shows these clips, and they're terrible. I'll see if I can find it on YouTube or something and embed it in the show notes. It's hilarious. So they just go through and basically talk about how terrible the experience was and how like they thought it was awesome at the time and everything, and it was really funny. Megan Mullally was actually, the thing that she brought was a commercial from McDonald's, which was the introduction of the Egg McMuffin to the world. And
wow.
This was the first thing that she had ever done in front of a camera, and she was like the waitress girl who like held it up and like showed it to everybody, and like you can see it in the commercial, like her eyes are all like, you know, pried open, and she was saying that she was being yelled at off camera by people to like look happier all the time, and she just made this really unnatural looking face. Again, this sounds like something that I'm just going on about, and it's one of those things where you kind of had to be there, but anyway, I thought it was pretty awesome. So I'll try to find those clips and embed them into the show notes, and you guys might be able to check them out through that. But it's called The Shit Show. If you're in Los Angeles, try to check it out. It's at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater. That's about it for the media consume section. Why don't we go ahead and move on into our review of Time Cop.
In the year 2004, time travel is a reality.
You're charged with violations of TEC code 40.8, time travel with intent to alter the future.
And a crime.
It turns out going back in time is a pretty easy way to make money.
I think you got yourself a shipment of gold and you're taking a General Lee.
The genie is already out of the bottle. The technology is there.
Now, one man.
You ever hear the name Aaron McComb?
Is about to take the ultimate power trip.
He's gonna be president.
You don't need the press, you don't need endorsements, you don't even need the truth. You need money.
But to enforce the laws of time.
Are we still together in 10 years? Am I dead?
One man is determined to stop him.
I cannot go back to save her.
This scumbag is not going back to steal money.
Stay here, Walker. My future, you're dead.
I think you planned too far ahead.
Jean-Claude Van Damme. Ron Silver.
We'll get him!
Mia Sara.
So Time Cop came out in 1994. It was directed by Peter Hyams. I also noticed that he was the director of photography on the movie, which I feel like is kind of a rare thing for the guy to like operate the camera and
Soderbergh.
Yeah, Soderbergh and like Robert Rodriguez.
Yeah.
And does Tarantino do that occasionally or no? Am I making that up?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Okay, cool.
He's too busy, messing around with people's feet.
Right. So, man, this movie, where do we even start with this? What did you guys think of Time Cop? How many times have you seen it? What's your kind of relationship with this movie and Van Damme in general? Tyler, let's start with you.
Well, Ben, you know I'm a pretty big fan of Jean-Claude Van Damme because I dedicated December to watching a Van Damme movie every week.
Mm-hmm.
It was entitled Van Damme December, in case you forgot.
Sure.
Van Damme movies are kind of like a genre of their own, and so I kind of enjoy like separating them from legitimate films and enjoying them that way, because I mean, we could go on all day saying how bad Van Damme movies are, and if you look at them, they're pretty good, but they're even better when you kind of form like a safety bubble around them.
Right. They're even better when you decide ahead of time that you're going to enjoy it no matter how bad it is.
I think, yeah, that's probably better worded.
That's fair.
Time Cop I've seen a couple times. I mean, the name alone, pretty much once, like, I want to like it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where I'm going with this, but I enjoyed it.
Okay.
I'll find my train of thought eventually.
Well, I've only seen Time Cop one time, unfortunately. But I do remember that as stupid as it is, it's certainly not boring. As far as bad movies go, it is very entertaining and very fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember thinking that because Van Damme played there were two Van Dammes in another movie in Double Something, Double Impact,
Double Impact, and there was another one.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking that it was good in Time Cop, where he, instead of playing twins, he was just playing the same character twice, because that's probably a lot easier than playing two different characters.
Especially for him.
Right, exactly. You know, let's play to his strengths, which is being Jean-Claude Van Damme. We'll just have him be Jean-Claude Van Damme two times.
Yeah. I also made a big note of that. He apparently loves playing multiple characters or multiple versions of himself. It's like he's not challenged enough by just, oh, I don't know, the English language that he decides to take on multiple roles.
Well, the probably thing is, you know, why waste a perfectly good space on the screen with people who aren't Jean-Claude Van Damme.
He just loves the concept of him like fighting himself, because he probably thinks he's the only worthwhile opponent in the universe take him on. I'm sure he would have replaced Mia Sara with some like drag version of himself if he could. Adam Sandler style.
That is disturbing. You know, this movie is, I can say this, it's not Van Damme's worst movie, because he has made some god-awful films.
No, and you know what? And thanks to Street Fighter, it wasn't even his worst movie in 1994.
Oh, Tyler, how do you feel?
Oh, you are starting a fire under me, Eric. You don't know what crypt you're opening up, dude.
There were
some good movies in the early 90s that he was just plugging out, and I don't know what the, you know, society was like, or they're like, we need more Van Damme.
It was because we had the economy was robust at that time, so plenty of money flowing freely, and also cocaine was very popular in Hollywood.
So
very, very popular,
potentially impacting some important decisions being made.
Possibly
the same movie leaking through and then having to change the title.
Right.
Yeah, this is one of those things where, like, I kind of wish that the age that I am right now, I wish I was this age in 94 when, like, Damme and, like, you know, Steven Seagal and these guys kind of ruled the box office, just because I find that whole thing, looking back on it, kind of inexplicable. Like you were saying, Tyler, like, what is society doing where this is the norm?
But, dude, it was adrenaline-based, man. Everybody was just hopped up on, like, Nintendo power and the Clinton administration and...
Well, I don't know if you want a serious answer, but I think it was actually left over from the 80s, which had been the Reagan and the Cold War, and so we had, you know, the Rambo kind of stuff, where we're and that's when Schwarzenegger got to be a big star, and it was all very much us versus them and rah-rah America, and then the Cold War ended, but we still liked that kind of feeling. So in the 90s, you had the run of the movies where instead of being against the Russians, it was against, you know, terrorists or whoever. But it was still because we'd gotten used to those kinds of movies that were fun to watch, of the just that big us versus them thing.
Yeah. And I think, you know, say what you will about these movies, but at least they have like kind of original plots, or maybe not, if not original, at least kind of interesting ones. It's not like a movie based on a board game and some of the stuff that we're seeing now. So
that's true.
Time Cop is almost like a little bit too confusing at times, like with the way that they go into their elaborate exposition about time travel and what it means. Like this opening scene where the guy's like talking about government appropriations and stuff. Tyler, you know what I'm talking about, where he just goes off onto this like probably 5-minute rant about why they can't go back and kill Hitler, but like the butterfly right. effect and all these different
things. Yeah, they're kind of.
Yeah, I wrote down, he says, it turns out if you go back and change something, it's serious. I thought that needed to be said because no one listening had ever watched or read a single piece of science fiction in their lives.
Right.
Like, it had never, no one had even thought about time travel before.
Hadn't Back to the Future come out like 9 years prior and they checked that?
Yeah, no.
I hate
no
when movies travel. Don't recognize other movies.
Right, or don't recognize people probably have considered the possibility of time travel before and what might happen.
I think somewhere in the movie, a guy kind of basically solved every single problem that was created in this film by saying, why are we enforcing time travel when we should just be preventing time travel?
Yeah.
Like, they invent time travel and they automatically assume that everyone's going to use it. And they're like, so we got to enforce it. We shouldn't stop it or destroy the prototype or anything.
Well, isn't the deal that time travel is illegal, except like the government can do it? You can travel the time if you're the government, but like civilians aren't allowed to. Isn't that the deal?
I don't think that they imply that just government agents are fine with doing it unless they're doing it to enforce something.
Right, but no, that's what I mean. Like the government, for legitimate government purposes, supposedly. It's like, you know, the government can launch a nuclear missile if there's a good reason for it, but you or I can't.
Yeah, I think, kind of the gist of it is that.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think maybe scientists were dabbling in it, and so when the scientists are doing it, they just assume criminals are going to bribe the scientists to get them back in time or something.
Yeah, they have like that opening scene where they're like, this guy has come up with the idea of time travel, and they kind of scoff, and they're like, yeah, but the thing is, he did it. And then they're like, oh, snap. And then he goes off into this thing about like, what if other countries got a hold of this technology and went back and like created the computer before we did and stuff like that. So it's all like preventative, I think, in this world.
But it's strange. It's illegal and you're not allowed to travel through time. And it's very complicated the way they do it. You drive in the car, you drive really fast, and there's a brick wall at the end for no reason. Like, why is the brick wall there? Except, I guess it manufactures false tension over whether or not the car will disappear in time. But
just make the tunnel longer.
Well, exactly. Yeah.
Solve the problem right there.
Yeah. It's
but
not
then
like
somehow,
the, it's somehow not people, the car's going to be there. It's supposed to disappear anyway.
And then somehow people on their own are somehow also traveling through time, which they must have found a more efficient way of doing it.
Yeah. And if that's true, then why is the Time Enforcement Commission not using that technology?
Well, I know what the libertarians would say. Well, it's no surprise that private industry found a better way to do something than the government does.
Yeah, true.
Ding.
Bogged down in bureaucratic decisions.
Exactly. Get Ron Paul on the phone.
Exactly. He would simplify that.
Who wants to get rid of the TEC? Raise your hand.
But yeah, Tyler, I mean, it's interesting that you bring that up because like that's the villain that offers that as the solution. Like maybe this whole thing's probably a bad idea, and that's clearly so he can be the only one to do it and benefit from it. But yeah, I mean, the entire movie is like totally unnecessarily complicated because time travel exists and they don't just shut it down and they keep that's the thing, like there doesn't seem to be very many consequences for time travel. Like they claim that it is, but at the same time, or they claim that there are a lot of consequences, but at the same time, like a guy jumps out of the window, right, and Van Damme jumps out with him and they time travel away, and like the door the bellhop guy is like, my god, and crosses himself and stuff, and there's like a huge crowd of people, and I feel like that would really kind of do a lot of psychological damage on people.
Good thing.
Yeah.
And that seems like the TEC would have some sort of regulations in place.
Well, let me solve that for you right now, because I think they sent him back to continue his fall at the exact point, I assume, when they took him out.
Yes. Yeah.
So everyone just – that psychological effect, I guess, was solved for. But I think we should have a section right now, since we're talking about it, all the problems we had with the time travel. before we get into like Van Damme's performance.
Right. Because, yeah, that deserves a long portion of the discussion. For people who, occasionally we need to keep repeating this just for people who are listening to the show for the first time. But
It was a quest to get through, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, nice.
Bam!
There's the quest reference.
There it is.
So basically what I was trying to get at is that if you haven't seen this movie, and you want to, then go watch it, because we're going to spoil anything, whatever we want about it, basically. So this is a movie that if you haven't seen it and you are kind of vaguely interested by what we're saying, maybe you'll be even more interested to know that it begins in the 1860s or something. There's a gold robbery where a guy holds up dual Uzis with laser sights and mows down the Confederate army.
Which is a pretty awesome way to start a movie.
Yes.
Really.
Hard as a diamond at that point.
Yeah.
So, Tyler actually sent me a text during this movie when he was watching it, and he goes, "Ben, I'm not even through the credits yet, and I'm already praising the shit out of this movie." So, but
the
Tyler, go ahead.
Was just so epic.
Bring up your time travel thing.
Okay, well, one of the things, how do they stop criminals after the crime? Like, I just didn't get that part. Like, they know the crime is going to happen or is happening, and they always send the cops or whatever, the time cops, in after the crime has been committed. If they're trying to prevent, you know, whatever, why aren't they sending them back to a point like 5 minutes before someone gets shot?
Yeah, they never say anything about that.
I had the impression that it wasn't so much that they were trying to prevent them from committing crimes in the past, it's that they were arresting them for traveling through time at all, regardless of what their purpose in it was. That the crime, the big crime they were concerned about was time traveling through time. Never mind what they were doing when they got back there. But still, as long as they're going back to stop them, might as well stop whatever they were doing, too.
Yeah, they didn't seem to worry about fixing any of the things.
We just want to punish you for traveling through time, yeah.
Right, the rogue cop went back and became fairly successful in the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And they decided to go back to a point where he was already successful instead of getting him like right behind the dumpster where he appeared for the very first time, Terminator style. And then they insist on executing him somehow, like in a way that would open up the time loop for him to do it again, I guess I'm trying to say. Because I think the end of the movie solves for that happening, but they didn't do that with the rest of the guys. Maybe that's why everything was so flugged up from the beginning.
Yeah, well, since you brought this up, there's one thing in particular that it takes place at the end of the movie. So we are kind of jumping ahead through time, if you will. But there's this part where
time cop.
The entire final, let's call it 20 or 30 minutes of the movie, is like a kind of Back to the Future 2-esque thing where short-haired Van Damme from 1994 and long-haired Van Damme from 2004 are roaming around in the same house and like fighting guys and trying to prevent Mia Sara's death, right? So
Death by C4. Let's make that clear.
Yeah, death by an excessive amount of C4 that house to smithereens.
And the thing is, Van Damme, when he goes back to that day, it's October 9th, 1994 is the date, by the way, as I'm sure you know. He's so stupid, he doesn't even realize that this is the day his wife was murdered. Like, he's back there to deal with the bad senator, Ron Silver.
Yeah.
And then later he's like, oh, yeah, my wife gets killed tonight. I should totally stop that from happening.
Yeah, except that
totally
makes
an afterthought.
That makes no sense, considering he goes home every day after work and just watches and memorizes home videos.
Yeah,
so
it's like there's no way he doesn't know that date, October 9th, 1994.
Yeah, he doesn't have that seared into his nightmares. But
he only remembers the date she tried to build the birdhouse. That's the only one that sticks with him.
Oh, he's memorized that thing.
You were excited about it a second ago. The other problem I had was the pods you mentioned earlier, Eric.
Yeah.
The pods that they take. They go back in time, no pod. They come back to the future, which was established at the beginning that you can't do that because the future hasn't happened yet. And they return in a pod. Where's the bus stop mid-time stream where they hop back into the pod and return?
Yeah, I wondered exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
They're in the little pod, and they disappear before they hit the brick wall, and then they show up wherever they were going with no car. But then to get back, don't they have, like, a remote control? Like, they're carrying some button around that they push?
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Like, why can't they just do that in the first place? Travel with use right, the button?
Use the button to go back in time.
It seems like the entire thing, the whole time travel thing, just sounded like a cool idea to somebody, and they're like, let's not really think about the specifics of this.
I feel like they took a lot of liberties with the true story that this was based on. Really did.
Interesting. The guy clearly says, we can't go into the future, which is obviously what everyone wants to do.
Right.
Because the future hasn't happened yet. But once you go back in time, you're in a timeline where the future hasn't happened yet. So how can you get back to the future?
Well, I guess that future has happened. It must have happened because you came from it.
Multiple timelines.
Yeah, and it does open up multiple timelines.
Around.
He goes back at one point and who's his boss? What is that actor's name?
From Rizzoli and Isles.
Yeah, Bruce McGill. He's there, and at one point, like, the Time Enforcement Commission headquarters or whatever has been like taken over by a different guy or McComb, the bad guy, has financed it somehow, and Van Damme comes back and like claims that they were best friends, and the worlds have been changing. So he is entering different timelines. So we should mention that. That's the thing about this movie. It's like, it's not like Time Crimes or any of these other movies where it's all like a contained incident. It does kind of open up the floodgates of multiple timelines, and it gets really messy with all that stuff. But
at the same time, at the end, like he succeeds in killing the bad guy back in 1994, and then he goes back to the future again, but nothing has changed. Like everything's things have changed, but he doesn't seem to expect it.
Right, and that's the thing I was going to bring up earlier with like long haired Van Damme versus short haired Van Damme is like. Long hair is the one that we've been following, right? Like, he's the one who experiences the pain, and then it jumps ahead 10 years, and we're with him the whole way, and he is the one who goes back to 94, and, like, they have the whole ridiculous mall scene where he's interacting with the wife before, and, like, they relive the skater incident, like, all that kind of stuff, which is just, like, so pure 90s, it's not even funny.
Which technically should have happened anyway. Because of the time loop explanation.
Right. So,
like, Van Damme should have gone back in the beginning. Like, we should have seen him, like, turned around at some point.
Right. And that's the thing, like, that this movie doesn't do is I feel like we're talking about the time issues. I feel like it should have, if we were, I don't know, if we were seeing the real version of this movie, like the pure version of this movie, it should have switched perspectives from long-haired Van Damme to short hair Van Damme when he fixes the situation at the end of the movie. Because like Eric says, he goes back to the future and he's totally missed out on those 10 years. Like he doesn't know his own son.
Right.
Like, he has no memories of what's happened with that kid.
Well, and the funny part is that he seems surprised by this, to think that things might have changed by him messing with the cast. Because his boss died as he was being sent back in time, and now he's surprised to find him alive and well. Well, of course he's alive and well, because all that stuff didn't happen. Stupid.
Yeah.
Then he shouldn't have been able to come back to the future and have his place unoccupied in that timeline, because he saved himself and he killed McComb, which means his young self wouldn't have to go back in time to defeat McComb in the first place.
That's the whole grandfather paradox.
I just want Time Cop 2 where young Van Damme comes home like 5 minutes later and he's like, what the hell is going on? Who is this guy? And then Time Cop 2 happens.
I always thought Time Cop should be the guy that they send after you when you're wasting time. Like, you're just standing around. Like, hey, yeah, like loitering. Hey, quit loitering. You're like, hey, what are you, the time cop? Yes.
I'm Van Damme. I will fake kick you in the face, but stop inches before and hold my pose dramatically.
Feed my boot.
Oh, man.
Rick, son.
Yeah. So there's clearly some issues here.
Travel issues, yeah.
The thing, the one other thing that I didn't really fully comprehend, and I think it's because the screenwriters probably didn't either, is the thing that they kept saying about how matter can't occupy the same space at the same time, but yet this guy can have a conversation, Ron Silver's character, can have a full-on conversation with himself and, like, force order him to do things.
It's apparently that you just can't, that you can't touch. You can't apparently the things can't touch. But even there, I wonder, does it have to be skin on skin? Like, you have to shake hands with your guy? Or like, what if the two Ron Silver just, like, you know, bumped shoulders or something?
Right.
Through their clothes.
If that's the case, then, like, if they're standing on the same ground, you know, are they connected some way that way? Like, when he hands him the letter, he actually drops the letter. So, because I was waiting. I was hoping he would hand him
the letter. No, I think...
It's like, transference, maybe something.
No, I think they have to actually physically touch each other.
Yeah.
And then obviously... they explode or whatever
it
happens.
It just seems so arbitrary that that's the
it totally
thing.
Is. It totally is. Like,
oh yeah, we can have conversations and we can play a game of one-on-one basketball as long as we don't touch, but
no fouls.
You got that sweat variable though.
Oh, that's true.
Like, if he's shedding and like just a strain of hair just floats over to this guy's jersey and it's just antimatter bomb.
Yeah. Tyler,
antimatter, sure surprisingly missing from the storyline.
Tyler, I'm sure you had something written down that you wanted to bring up, yes?
No, I've actually brought it all up already.
Okay, awesome, yeah. One thing that I just wrote that I thought was awesome was the scene where Jean-Claude Van Damme jumps out of a hospital window without any knowledge of the area or how high up he actually is or what's
going on. Selling this movie so hard right now.
And he seems to turn around midair and grab onto a railing that he didn't know was there and then somehow, like, breaks off of the railing, rolls onto a nearby rooftop, and then just jumps down to the ground and keeps running.
That's pretty common in these movies.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's common in these movies, but I feel like these, especially the 1990s type of movies, are the only spots where you see... Where I feel like filmmakers thought that the audience would think that was acceptable. Like, even in stuff like The Expendables now... Yeah. They don't take it quite to that level.
That's true.
But
that's true.
I kind of appreciate the way that they're like, you know what? Yeah, we're just going to have him jump out here and, I don't know, as an afterthought, yeah, he'll spin around midair and catch onto a railing. Like, it doesn't matter.
How many times do you think... Yeah, really. How many times do you think they blew up that colonial house to get it just right? Because I know they did it twice, and Van Damme was in a different area both times. So they did it at least twice, and then they try to convince us that someone along the way rebuilt it.
Right, like, to its like exact specifications.
Right.
Like someone came by and was just looking at it cross-armed and just like, yeah, this is salvageable. I mean, a little cleanup, a rake and some elbow wax, and we'll get this thing back up into shape.
We can flip it.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man. Yeah, there's like that. By the way, that second explosion, I mean, we're splitting hairs here when we say that there's no way in hell anyone could have survived that being so close. But he picks up Sloan, who I refuse to call by her character name, Mia Sara, and he's on the top of the stairs with like 12 seconds left before it goes off, and they show in slow motion him running down the stairs, but the clock moves at even slower motion to imply that he's lightning quick and able to get a pregnant wife, excuse me, who's been shot through the shoulder down the stairs in 10 seconds and away from a house at a proper distance to where they could survive an explosion.
Yes.
I thought it was pretty.
And this is the same guy that turned around when he left out of a hospital window and grabbed onto a ledge that he didn't even know was there.
Anything is possible.
His hypothalamus was triggered at that point.
Look, when you're awesome, you can do a lot of awesome things. It may or may not be possible.
Yep.
I should have said that in Stephen Hawking's voice, Eric, because that's something that...
When you're awesome.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's pretty much all I had written down. I was just kind of, I wanted to just soak in this movie with you guys and go into the nitty gritty with it and kind of talk about how ridiculous it was. I think we did pretty good job of that.
It is a delightfully stupid movie.
Yeah.
Eric, you wrote Eric's bad movies column on this. What were some of the big points or the big low points, I guess, that you called out on it?
Most of the ones I've mentioned, I've been referring to my notes. this conversation. But the other thing that I wanted to mention was, again, at the end, when Max Van Damme gets back to the future, mm-hmm. and he's sort of being surprised that things are different. The best one, is that he's baffled that Senator McComb, Ron Silver, is not there anymore. And someone says, yeah, he disappeared 10 years ago. It's like, yeah, remember, Max? You killed him. like not more than 5 minutes ago by your time. Because he killed him and then immediately came back. Like, how did...
And not only killed him in the most gruesome death any human has ever died in front of anyone else.
Yeah, so why are you surprised that he's not here 10 years later? Because you killed him. I just don't know how he passed his time cop exam.
Yeah, exactly. Like he fails to understand the basics of time travel, and yet he was chosen as like one of the main operatives for this.
Never mind his skills as a police enforcement, as a law enforcement in general, but yeah, specifically to work in time, and he has no grasp at all of how time works or anything. Plus, he's Belgian. I don't think that he could get a job in the American Time Enforcement Commission.
Yeah,
they may
not trust him.
You're that awesome. You're also awesomely stupid.
He's so oily all the time.
That was one of the things that I had. That was the last thing that I wanted to mention is that Van Damme's catchphrases here are so terrible. He says things like "That's gotta hurt" and "Have a nice day" when he puts somebody's arm into like whatever the freezing
it was like nitrous
oxide or something like
like liquid nitrogen sprays down and the guy's arm's frozen like X-Men style, and he's just screaming, and Van Damme's just kicks him so that part of his arm just falls off.
Yeah,
and he says "Have a nice day." He should have said "Have a ice day,"
right?
Or something
that's
clever.
Right.
Maybe that's what he thought he was saying.
I think you guys forgot an N here. I'll say it with an N. That's all.
Up and at them.
Well, that's the thing, is like just hearing his catchphrases in this movie made it seem to me like Schwarzenegger must have been offered every one of Van Damme's movies, but just turned them down because the catchphrases weren't as good. And Van Damme was like, yeah, I'll do that.
It's probably that when they get Van Damme, then the budget is going to be lower, so they can't afford the same writers to come up with the catchphrases. Mm-hmm. So they get like the B and the C list guys who don't come up with nearly as good one-liners.
Right.
They go for Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, that's a problem though. In movies like this, you got to have good one-liners. Like,
exactly.
That's why people see these movies. Yeah. You gotta have all of it.
Mm-hmm. You're either silently aggressive or just super aggressive with one-liners.
Yeah, definitely.
Can't have a medium.
Yeah, cool. Well, Tyler, you want to rev up the Apple II and let people know what we're going to be watching next week?
I mean, you want to give final thoughts on this film first?
Go ahead.
Jumping the time gun a little bit.
Ooh, heyo. Go ahead.
Heyo. Well, I mean, I said it before at the beginning of the discussion. This is a movie, number 5 in the top 10 Van Damme best flicks list.
Your own personal?
This week. I'm writing one, so it should be up this week. But it made it to number 5, but you'll have to...
What is the number 1 best Van Damme flick?
Well, you'll have to read the article to find out, Eric.
That seems like a lot of work. Can you read it to me?
I sure can. We'll save that for... I'll personally call you and just read it to you.
Thank you. I'm a busy man, Tyler.
No problem. Obviously, I've talked about Van Damme before, so if you're at, like, I don't know, just check it out. Just watch it. I'm not going to back it up with any evidence. If this discussion isn't evidence enough to watch it, you're at the wrong show, sir. Or okay. Ma'am.
Fair enough.
Yeah. All right, Eric, any closing thoughts?
I've covered several Van Damme movies in Eric's Bad Movies, and he's the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah.
I recently did Cyborg, which is great because he's in a movie called Cyborg. You're like, oh yeah, Van Damme playing a cyborg? No, he's not even playing a cyborg. And the cyborg is like a minor character with two scenes. Total bait and switch.
Trap.
Yeah. Very disappointing.
Yeah, we got sucked into that real quick. And there was...
I think that was exactly what I said to Ben too. I was like, Ben, it's a Van Damme movie called Cyborg. It's not like he's tough enough, but now he's a cyborg, and we're
right,
just
yeah.
Down.
And then not only is he not the cyborg, the cyborg's not even a major character.
Yeah, and then it just turns into this really like ham-fisted Jesus allegory at the
end. He's totally Jesus in that movie. Yeah, he's very Jesus-y.
I feel like they literally nail him to a cross at one point.
Oh, they do. Yes, they crucify him. Right. They do, and he escapes basically by kicking it. Like he kind of. Kind of what he always does is just sort of kick things. Somehow he kind of kicks his way down off the cross somehow.
Oh man, he should have done a split and gone onto the crossbar of the cross.
Oh, that would have been good.
Oh, good stuff. All right. Well, yeah, I think if you've laughed along with us at this discussion and you haven't seen Time Cop yet, you'll probably find a lot to laugh about in the movie. So as long as you don't take it seriously, there's some fun stuff in here. It's not a great movie, that's for damn sure. But
Mia Sara's boobs.
Yeah, I was wondering if you were going to bring that up.
Do you think that was a body double? Because I don't think I saw her face and boobs in the same shot.
I'm pretty sure it panned up and it was actually her.
It was like it was a silhouette of the face, though. It could have been anybody.
Okay, all right.
Could have been what's her name? Stallone's wife.
Okay, Brigitte Nielsen.
Brigitte Nielsen. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't go slow mo frame by frame through it, so I'm not really sure. If you know if that was actually
Mia Sara,
film
student like I am.
if you listeners know if that was actually her, send us an email. Let us know. Tyler, you want to rev that Apple II? Tell people what we're going to be watching.
I prefer to call out Mia Sara herself and go get straight from the source.
Mia, I know you're listening.
Big fan of the show, yeah.
Yeah.
Straight from the teat, if you will.
Wow. Okay.
What movie are we watching next week? I'll just pull that lever and let's see. All right, next week we'll be watching Kurt Russell, Sam Elliott, and a bunch of other old Western guys in Tombstone.
Awesome.
One of the best films ever? Question mark.
We'll find out next week.
That will be discussed.
Definitely better than Time Cop. Oh, you guys are just going alphabetically, aren't you? Time Cop and Tombstone.
Okay, let's not pull the curtain back too far there. Right?
Sorry.
The Apple II can only work so hard.
Sorry.
Awesome. Okay, so if you guys would like, you can shoot us an email at notjustnewmovies@gmail.com. You can call and leave us a voicemail at 904-469-6566. We have one email here. It says, Future Tyler, I came by to correct you on one of your usual unresearched and unfounded rants about cinematic history and life in general. As per the IMDb.com page of Bela Lugosi, I quote, Lugosi still spoke very little English by the time he shot Dracula in 1931. He had made the role famous on Broadway, but most of his lines he had learned phonetically and used the same technique for the film version. It was another 2 years after he shot Dracula before he became fluent in English, although he had made several films after that one. Dude, check and mate, all that stuff. See you in the sauna.
What did you say, Tyler? What did you say that was so wrong?
Yeah.
Well, I gave the impression. Oh, who's the email from?
This is actually from Past Tyler of Movies Fame. Yeah.
I think I gave the impression that I was telling Ben something about Bela Lugosi and how he did all his movies and read the script phonetically, so that he didn't know any English, but like what he was saying, he just kind of sounded out as opposed to actually knowing what he was saying.
Yeah, he just like imitated people.
Oh, right.
Yeah, but I did not. You know, I thought that he went his entire career doing that, but I guess it wasn't until like 1933.
Oh, okay.
It was until 1933 where he was reading English scripts phonetically, and then he learned English, and then the rest of his career.
Gotcha. Yeah. So
you know who still can't read English is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Is that true?
No, I don't know. Probably.
It seems to be.
You're dropping some knowledge on us.
It's pretty I know that his Austrian accent is as thick now as it was when he came to America 45 years ago. Like, it's gotten no better. He's gotten no better at speaking English in the time he's been here.
The coolest thing I heard, like, last week was the guys from the Frogcast, and I guess a lot of them are from California.
Yeah.
And they were talking about their college degrees and how it's signed by Arnold Schwarzenegger. And I was like,
oh,
I was instantly jealous.
That's true. If you went to a state college, that's true. Yeah. I hadn't thought of that.
So I guess you guys can also track us down on Facebook. We're on Twitter too. If you want to follow us on Twitter, it's twitter.com/NJNM podcast. We have a couple new followers I wanted to mention real quick, at Calgary Coupons _, at Eyeball 3333, at, Tanalna, and at Cheryl PWC. So thanks for the follows, guys. Appreciate it.
I think those last two are porn stars.
I wouldn't doubt it with the way you operate our Twitter feed. We'll put it that way.
I think they're virusy, very virusy feel to them.
Yeah. Oh, apparently I don't follow you.
Oh man. Yeah.
Sorry, I thought I did, but then you said it, and I guess now I do.
Okay, there we go.
Will you say my name? Can you say my name? I'm a follower.
I'm going to actually, yeah, I just got an email here. Apparently now we're being followed by at Eric D. Snyder. So
thanks
for the follow there, Eric. Yeah.
And Calgary Coupons no longer follows us. So.
Oh, okay. So,
You shamed them into quitting.
That was an instantaneous. As soon as we read it, somehow they knew. They perked up and unfollowed us. Anyway, you guys can feel free to subscribe for free, of course, in this pod, in iTunes to this podcast. Leave us a review. That would be awesome. It helps our visibility and all that jazz. So take a second and do that. If you're a fan of the show, I appreciate it. So, Tyler, do you have a little bit of a game for us? Am I right here?
Yeah, I got a little something. You want to close out the character name game?
Okay, yeah, let's do that first. And see if Eric has illegally Googled it again.
Oh, no, I forgot. Dorothy Evans?
Dorothy Evans is the character name. Do you guys have any idea? Any idea what movie that character is from?
Oh, I do now because I Googled it.
I've got an answer before you steal it away from me, Eric.
I never would have gotten it, not in 1,000 years.
I think it's that movie that Katie Holmes is in where they do the three different sections of the film. You know what I'm talking about, Ben? Is that the movie?
No. What are you talking about?
It's that movie where someone dies at some point, and the three sections of the movie follow a different vantage point of the same night.
That and sounds like an Urban Legends Final Cut type of thing or something. I don't
know. No, I think you sing this movie's praises quite a lot.
Katie Holmes is in it, you said?
Yeah, it has Katie Holmes in it, like a bunch of other young people. They smoke pot at the beginning. They get drunk.
Is it 11:14?
Parties are had.
With Patrick Swayze. Oh, you're talking about Go?
Is that it?
You're talking about Go?
Go.
Is it Go?
I think it is.
Yeah, it goes different. Yeah, different people.
Oh, so I got the answer right?
No, that's
the character name game?
No, Go is what you're talking about. Go is the incorrect answer for Dorothy Evans.
But, yeah, there's no Dorothy Evans in that.
Okay. Eric, you want to go ahead and drop some knowledge on people?
Yeah, Tyler, just so you know, the correct answer is The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford.
Oh, wow.
In which Dorothy Evans is played by Zooey Deschanel.
Yep, who stars in Our Idiot Brother, which came out in wide release, starring Paul Rudd this past weekend.
There you go.
Eric, I don't know how you pulled that out of your ass, but well done, Eric.
I actually pulled it out of Google, which is even Google's more expansive than my ass.
So
Zooey Deschanel. Have her on the podcast. You know what I'm saying, Ben?
Yeah, I
maybe a little bit of her sister, a little Emily Deschanel, huh?
You're a big Bones fan, are you?
Little Bones there, maybe.
Man, we need
I
to stop
keep
this
up for too long without trying to laugh.
Right? Yeah, we need to stop before the Bones puns get any more vulgar than they already are. So
I'm also a fan of Big Bones.
And I'd like to rattle her bones, if you know what I'm saying, Ben.
Yeah, there it is. That's...
Rattle the bones.
Yeah. Tyler, you wanna play Up My Cue?
Ben, why did the skeleton go to the party by himself?
I don't know.
He had no body to go with.
Oh, man. That's what this podcast should be. We should just stop talking about movies and just have you do terrible jokes. Oh, man. The Not Just New Joke
terrible
podcast.
Jokes? I take that as an insult, sir.
Classic
yeah,
jokes.
Yeah, let's do a quick Up My Cue. We're bringing it back.
Okay.
So, I think, do you remember the Up My Cue theme music?
I do. Here it is.
All right, welcome to Up My Cue. Eric, did you ever play this with us? Was this something you played with us?
I don't think so.
All right, well, this game is where you are supposed to know me fairly well, personally.
Right,
so you can try
I don't.
Right. Well, you can guess, but it's a 50-50 chance. You can guess of the two movies that I give you, which one is in my Netflix queue. It can be DVD instant queue.
All right.
And round one, I'm going to give to you, Eric. Round one.
I'm ready.
Out of these two movies, which one's in my Netflix queue? The Green Hornet or The Princess Bride?
Princess Bride.
Oof. Answered too quickly. I was going to give you some hints, but it's The Green Hornet.
Oh, I didn't know I was going to get clues.
I don't drop clues while you think.
Okay, all right.
But I'm not going to give any clues to Ben.
I was assuming that you had seen Green Hornet when it came out in theaters earlier this year.
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay. Because I knew there was no way you would watch it a second time.
Right. I'm waiting for the time where I'll watch it again. I prefer the radio serials. Is that bad? I don't know.
He prefers the true source material.
They totally ruined it when you could see him.
It tickles my senses a little more than Seth Rogen does. Ben, of these two movies, round two, which one's in my queue? Winter's Bone or SummerSlam 1989?
Oh man, is SummerSlam a World Wrestling Federation thing?
Yeah, that would be correct, you nerd.
Dude, I feel like this is like a classic case of reverse psychology here.
Smoke and mirrors, huh?
One is the clear answer. I mean, you're clearly obsessed with wrestling, especially from the olden days. And Winter's Bone, though, I mean, I know that you're a fan of Jennifer Lawrence, but that's just on physicality alone, so...
Oh, no.
I'm going to say Winter's Bone.
That's correct.
Nice. Well done.
Well, good dodge.
Okay.
All right, now round three is going to be posed to both of you. You can discuss it amongst yourselves and come up with a co-final answer. Is that all right with everybody?
Okay.
All right, of these two movies, which one is in my queue? The documentary Rush, Beyond the Lighted Stage, or the not-a-documentary Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein?
Oh, no. Oh, Eric, I'm going to tell you, both of these seem like something that he would watch.
Is Tyler a known Rush fan?
He is, yeah.
I do like to stay in the limelight.
Well, sure.
Possibly my subdivision.
Oh, man. I
plant my trees.
See, but then there's a good chance that he owns the Rush documentary. Or has seen it many times or whatever.
He's not that big a fan. I think he's too lazy for that, to be honest.
Fair enough. Well, actually, Ben, it might be next to my copy of Tom Sawyer.
Oh, man, you're just dropping Rush titles now. I know what you're doing. Abbott Costello Meet Frankenstein is so ridiculous. I think it's probably that one.
Eric, do you agree?
I'll go along with that, sure.
And that's correct.
Nice.
Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein. I think Boris Karloff stars as Frankenstein in it. So. Yeah.
Well, report back. Let us know how that is.
Yeah. Do you own the Rush documentary, though?
No, I don't. Oh. I've never seen it either.
No.
Sorry to let you down.
Yeah. Totally. All right. Yeah.
Well, that was up my queue, or, you know, up my Netflix. What's the original name for it? In my queue?
Yeah.
All up in my queue?
Yeah, good call. Bringing it back out of the attic.
All right, so let's go ahead and go around the circle, wrap this thing up, tell people where they can find more of our work on the internet. Tyler, let's start with you.
Well, people of Earth, you can find me at thesolarsentinel.blogspot.com and on the Not Just New Movie podcast Twitter and at notjustnewmovies.com this week, hopefully.
Yep.
That's about it.
Cool. All right, Eric T. Snyder, where can people track you down?
You mostly find me at film.com, which is where I wrote about Time Cop. I do Eric's Bad Movies every Thursday there. And my own site, ericdsnyder.com. And I'm on the Twitter, Eric D. Snyder.
Excellent. You guys can find me on Twitter at twitter.com/BenPears, writing sporadically for geektyrant.com, filmonic.com, notjustnewmovies.com, the namesake for this podcast. And you can hear me on the Geek Tyrant Weekly podcast. Eric, you also have... Movie BS, right? Your podcast?
Oh, that's right. I was only thinking of things that I write, but I also say with my words in my mouth that podcast, Movie BS with Bayer and Snyder, every Friday. You can find us on the iTunes.
Cool. Good stuff.
Me and Jeff Bayer.
Excellent. Well, music for this show is provided by George Turner and the Bandits. You can find their music at gtbandits.com. They're also on Twitter and Facebook, so check them out over there. Special thanks to Eric D. Snyder for stopping by and donating some time to talk about Time Cop. So thanks a lot.
Thank you. Anytime. I always have time to talk about Time Cop.
Indeed. And a belated
There's
happy
never
birthday.
Enough time.
A happy birthday to Eric, too. You
well, that's right. I turned very old on Friday.
Yeah, 65, man. You're rocking these days.
Yeah.
So.
Collecting those checks.
Excellent. All right, well, thanks for listening, guys. We are going to be watching Tombstone next week, so definitely tune in for that one. And we will see you next week. I've got the blues. I've got the blues. Money that